Hello everybody and welcome back to the Marketing Freaks podcast and this week's mini bite-sized episode. I am joined by my friend and previous podcast guest, Jeff, who is the CEO of Built Visible. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, John.
We're in your man cave.
We are.
Which is really...
in deepest, darkest Northamptonshire.
Cavey. It's nice.
Yeah, it's cosy.
It's what...
I hope welcoming, at the very least.
Yeah, it's very nice, thank you. Good. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about the topic of dealing with professional rejection.
Which I'm glad, I was worried it was going to go into the personal, but...
we can get to that.
I can't be, it's how long have you got?
Let's not go there.
No.
So, this is a thing that everyone has to deal with this, right? You're applying for jobs and you don't get them, you're going into sales pitches, you don't win them. It's actually a very big part of one's professional life, I think.
Yeah.
Rejection. So, but no one teaches anyone about it. And in the corporate world anyway, it's just tough.
Yeah. Deal with it. You've got to kind of just, well, there's no blueprint, is there, of how to react. So you kind of can only really go off what other people do.
Exactly.
But they themselves haven't been taught. There's nothing in there that's a protocol of how to deal with it. So yeah, you kind of have to wing it, don't you?
You do. So the format for this episode is, I'll give my take, you give your take.
Cool.
And then we'll see what happens.
What have you got?
And hopefully it's useful and entertaining and helpful.
Perfect.
My take on it is actually, it's less about dealing with the rejection. So let's say in my world, that would usually be, we're pitching for some business and we don't win it, right? So I think it's less about dealing with that rejection and it's more about the mindset and setting the right expectations when you go into the process in the first place. So for example, let's say we're in a competitive pitch and it's my job to do enough homework to know what the odds are, right?
Yeah.
So if I've done my homework, I'll know who we're pitching against. I'll know what size they are. I know what capabilities they've got. I'll be able to stack us against the competition. And then I'm going in with my eyes open, or I'm qualifying it out and we're not doing it, but I'm going in with my eyes open and I've set my expectations and then the result is what the result is.
How does that translate to the rest of the pitch team? Like, so if you're going in on your own, like that works,
yeah.
Right? Because you're there going, right, well, I think this. How does that, do you tend to communicate that to the people who
I
are pitching?
I brief it in.
You do? Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than, I think it's really irresponsible for me to G people up who are on the pitch team, who don't necessarily have the new business experience, to set their expectations sky high is irresponsible.
Yeah.
And we're not, what I'm not saying is we go in like slung over like, we're not, you know, oh, we're rubbing. Trust me, in the heat of battle, we are the best.
Yeah.
We're going to do this to our best ability. We're going to get the best results. We are like fully 100% committed to being able to do a great job. But within that competitive pitch scenario example, we're also realistic in terms of our odds.
So
I think that's the key.
What kind of odds do you try and go for then? Like, because I talk about it quite a bit where there's, you know, I think a lot of the, especially when you're going in for a bigger pitch, it's more involved, more at stake. I think oftentimes clients know what they're doing in terms of qualification of the agencies. Agencies know what they're doing in terms of qualification for the clients. Like,
yeah.
I've got a theory that loads of it's kind of 49-51. And sometimes there's a degree of luck. Like, and you should be kind of in there if you think it's a 49-51 scenario.
Yeah. Like, I definitely want over 50% odds in normal scenarios. But there are also situations where... I don't think we've got that high a chance, but we'll still do it anyway because, I don't know, it's a good competitive experience. Or
you can test out some new stuff.
We can road test some messaging or some, I don't know, there might be other reasons, but it's that decision's made intentionally and everyone's aware of the fact that like we're the underdog, the chances are the odds are against us and we're going in knowing it and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's when you go into it and you naively you don't know that the odds are against you. That's when I think it's really bad.
Well, then you run the risk of being disappointed about something that was never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, okay,
pointless.
You know, it's like me entering the lottery every week and being absolutely furious I haven't won anything.
Yeah, exactly that. You buy the ticket, well, you should anyway, buy the ticket knowing roughly what the odds are.
Yeah.
What's your take?
So... I think I'm quite philosophical about this kind of thing. I think obviously, you know, my background as an athlete kind of maybe led me down the path, because I think your point about no one teaches you this stuff is really salient. I think that's a key thing. And actually sport has taught me loads about winning and losing. Like, what does that actually mean? What does that actually mean? And I think my philosophical take on it is that it doesn't really mean anything. So, and by that, I mean, like, I think a lot of people, I think if you attribute too much to an outcome, so like a win or a loss, so in this scenario, we're talking about pitching, right? It's like the kind of the case study. You know, if you go into that pitch and it's kind of, you can do all the qualification you want, you can be absolutely sure you're going to win it, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes you might not win it.
Yep.
And you might have managed your expectations and all that kind of thing. But, you know, I think people get really caught up on it. And, you know, if they don't win it, then their world crumbles. The pillars of their entire existence crumble around them. And the opposite's true as well, is if you win it, it could very easily go to your head. And then you just think you're on top of the world and da-da-da. Yeah. Whereas actually, like, you know, I the way I always look at it and the way I think I learned about it through sport is like, the outcome doesn't change who I am, if that makes sense. It's an outcome from a process, which is a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
It's just content of my life, not anything else. So like, I sort of look at it that way, and that's sort of a really helpful thing to look at for me, because as a business owner, is you have times when things are going brilliantly, sometimes when things are going really badly.
Yeah.
And you know, the measure of it all is like, who are you that whole time? And if you're just the same person, then why does it really matter? So it's quite a philosophical answer, but it's a helpful way to frame it, I think.
But I think those lessons are, so much of that carries over, you know. I always feel, so we've just done two rounds of recruitment, and in one of those rounds, we basically got some really strong candidates, right? And there was one that was so close. And one thing that I would always do when we're running recruitment rounds is, if someone's got to the point where they've made the effort to come in, prepare for an interview, the least I can do is phone them up.
Yeah.
The least I can do is phone them up. I was chatting through, and I got the sense that this guy had come close a few times.
Mm.
And it's such a brutal process in a way, isn't it? Because he did nothing wrong. The candidate did nothing wrong. It was a great interview, all the rest of it. But again, when you're going through university, or, you know, you're just about to enter the world of work, no one really teaches you how to deal with that. And really, in that scenario, it's just keep going. Like, doing nothing wrong, keep going. The opportunity will turn up. And it's a hard place to be, I think.
Yeah, and all of that's just, it's all a feedback loop, isn't it? It's like, the only thing you can do is kind of take it on board and go, okay. But that's where the grounding of, like, does that change who I am as a person, is like a really valuable way to look at it, because the reality is it shouldn't. It doesn't. There's a really interesting model from sort of like a coaching methodology around the gap and the gain. I don't know if you're sort of aware of that.
Tell us.
Yeah. So it's this really interesting idea where people often look at an ideal as their kind of benchmark. So like in the pitch scenario, the ideal is all around, we win the pitch and it's millions of pounds and the client loves us and they change our business, amazing. They transform our life, you know, all of this stuff. And that is kind of what the gap, there's a gap between the reality and that ideal.
Okay,
this is from a guy called Dan Sullivan. He's like a coaching sort of guru. Whereas the gain looks at where have you come from? So it's kind of looking at the process that you are on and the kind of journey you're on, rather than the ideal. So you're almost looking backwards. So in that same scenario, you could look at it and go, okay, well, where was our pitch 3 years ago? You know, if I'd gone in and pitched this to this client this time, you know, I might have been a million miles away from winning the business, whereas I've just lost out. And actually, I've represented myself well. I've kept the relationship really good. We're always here in case the chosen people mess it up.
Yep.
It's such a useful way to look at anything. It's actually anything in life is like, instead of looking at the ideal, because the ideal isn't real. So, but actually the gain, you know, what you have achieved is what you have achieved.
And
if you frame that in that context, it's a really valuable, and it, what it does, it puts you in a constant growth mindset.
Yep.
So again, if you're doing that, if you're in a growth mindset, you look at failure as opportunity.
Yep.
If you're in a kind of a reductive mindset, you're looking at it as, oh, well, that's it then. So, and that's just a choice. It is just a choice. And it's kind of, it's habit forming. You have to get into a rhythm of doing it, become comfortable with that idea. I think the gap and the gain is a really interesting model. If anyone wants to read about it, it's a guy called Dan Sullivan. He's just a complete genius.
Awesome. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
So that was a very quick, bite-sized episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do come and subscribe. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube. Do come and say hello on social as well. And we very much hope to see you on the next episode.